Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are recapping season 6, episode 16 of Pretty Little Liars called When Somebody Waits for Me.
Where Somebody Waits for Me.
God. Okay. All right. I can't believe you just called the writers of the show and said, kind of annoyed with Caroline. She's late. I want to embarrass her bad. I want to embarrass her brutally in the first 30 seconds of the episode. So she's going to think she's got it for once in her life. She's going to think she's got the episode title. Change it. I'll text you the second we log on to record. Showrunners, change it on IMDb. Change it everywhere. I can't believe you did that.
Yes, it's a short recap because what we're learning this episode is that the writers really have no sense of direction whatsoever, and they're really just throwing everything at the wall. Spencer had a weird lunch scheduled with Yvonne. We don't really know who scheduled it yet until we find out that Mona is involved, and Yvonne left her phone there and Spencer stole it so that they could like trace back who made that appointment. And then when she returns it, that's when she sees Mona, and Mona comes to get the phone. Emily has no money, so she's selling her eggs, and Allie, like, tries to mend fences with Emily by going to the hospital with her, but Allie had one job at the hospital, which was to stay by Emily's side the entire time, and the second she leaves the room, Shower Harvey comes in and injects Emily with the substance. And then once Emily had a really short recovery for this, she's literally back alone in Lucas's loft when she goes out into the hallway because someone knocked to find a bag of like rotten groceries with a message from A saying, basically, I took your eggs, or I'm gonna take your eggs if you don't find the killer of Cece. Allison and Elliot Rollins, Cece's doctor, have something going on, and we find out more about that in this episode. Again, in case you guys all forgot, we're back in Rosewood because Cece wanted to get out of wherever she was being kept and being treated for her whole thing she has going there. So all the girls are back, and this has kept Hannah from her boss for a while. And when she goes back, she's like a half hour late. And so Claudia fires her, and then she and Jordan just keep on driving. And where they drive, you literally will never guess, but we're about to find out. And then the girls, in case you forgot, they confront Ezra. They think that he had something to do with Cece's murder, and he like screams at them. And then last week, this is the last thing, Arya and Spencer break into Shower Harvey's room via the patio, and then they find out that this room she's staying in was actually Charlotte's room when this was the sanitarium. And also there's a massive hole in the closet that leads down to God knows where, but that's where Arya is right now. And that's the recap.
Someone sent us this tweet that was like, the original tweet was like Pop Crave or something, that said that Sasha revealed that the show is actually supposed to stop after season 5. And somebody retweeted it and said, one, we can tell. Two, blah, 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 blah. And somebody sent it to us and was like, the one we can tell is so Pretty Little Podcast coded. It's not even funny. And I was like, no, but we can tell. We can literally tell that none of this was supposed to happen.
It's like these first couple episodes for the time jump shouldn't have quite made it to film. Like,
no.
It feels like these should have been the first drafts of the script. Like, let's think about all these different storylines that we could explore.
Yeah.
But instead they were like, wait, we have like 30 more episodes we have to write. So we're just going to put everything we've thought of in there and see kind of where that takes us.
And I don't know like what would have been easier, honestly, because I think it is such a tough device to be like, and here's a 5-year time jump. And yeah, these girls have had 27 hours in every day of their lives that have been action freaking packed. So now we kind of have to explain all this shit, and they literally can't do the number one rule of writing, which is show, don't tell. They have to do telling.
Right.
And so it's just freaking boring for us.
It does also kind of explain. Do you remember the last episode before the time jump where the girls are all saying goodbye to each other? And we were like, they are like looking like they are. It is very similar to the actual last scene of the entire show. And they're like actively actually crying.
And look like they're saying goodbye.
But then I'm like, but that was still only halfway through.
Right.
They knew they had the rest of this season.
Yeah.
Or I guess maybe, no, I bet they were re-signed for 6 and 7 during season 5. And they probably would have put that scene at the end of season 5 after all the dollhouse stuff. I don't know.
That doesn't
make sense either, actually.
But hey, it sure is not what happened. So that is that. But I totally agree with the we can tell sentiment here. We begin, as Phoebe mentioned, Hannah and Jordan were driving somewhere we never could have guessed. We start from, we love our overhead shots. We love our in the corner of the ceiling shots in this show.
It's giving original sin.
It's giving original sin on the staircase. Yeah. And it's Hannah and Jordan. And like, okay, but tell me why this is supposed to be such like a tacky, heinous room. And I was like, why is this like the blueprint for my dressing room?
Why is it kind of giving Sabrina Carpenter's Juno set?
Oh my God.
Or like Bedchem
set. It's giving Bedchem at the Brits. It's exactly what this is giving. I'm sorry. Like, they made this set that they're using for one episode in one scene in one episode. I'm assuming we're not coming back here.
Yeah.
They're making it like, I was like, okay, we had a budget for this set. And thank God we've got, it's draped in silks. It's giving Miss Hannigan's room vibe. Like, this honeymoon suite is not like the rinky dink ones you see. And like, isn't there one in Gone Girl? Isn't she in like a honeymoon suite or something?
I feel like maybe. And do you it's remember like, that dingy. One time we were staying
in like, the hotel with the jacuzzi in our hotel and then, room? Yeah. And so we all got in our bathing suits. Guys, we were like, I was like 11. He was like 5.
We were all kids. We were all kids, but like, we were, I mean, you might have been more privy to like why ever the adults in the room were like dying at it. But I remember walking in there and being like, this is sick. This is literally my dream world.
I remember being privy to why it was like, because mom was literally like, is this a honeymoon? Because like dad booked
it. Fireplace.
Because it was like, I think we were literally on like a road trip home and we like needed a hotel, but we weren't planning on staying in the hotel. And we always used to try to stay in hotels with pools because obviously kids fucking love swimming. And so kids fucking love being submerged in water. So we were like, if it's there's not a pool, let's keep driving, mom. Keep your eyes on the freaking road, drink a coffee, let's go. Like, and so when we walk into the room with the jacuzzi, Phoebe's like already changed. She's already in her bathing suit.
Because
that is the thing, because
I put it on at 6 a.m. before we got in the Sequoia.
Probably.
I was like, well, I gotta be ready just in case a rest stop has one.
We're like, I know we're not gonna stop somewhere that doesn't have a body of water in the room at least, or the hotel. But like, we go in and like, it doesn't dawn on anybody else why having a jacuzzi in the middle of the bedroom, you guys, like not in the bath. It's not like you go in the bathroom, there's a jacuzzi. It was like the bed was like facing the jacuzzi. I don't want to know why. I don't want to know for what. But mom's like, well, I guess get in your bathing suits and get in. So we treated it like that was the pool.
Dad calling.
He's like, okay,
the
well, there's not a pool, but next best thing, jacuzzi in the living room, jacuzzi in the bedroom. Anyway, that's what this room is giving, except that wasn't like the signature Hilton fabrics. This is like silky red leopard lace.
The Hilton concierge handing mom the key to the honeymoon suite, seeing that she's got like a gaggle
three
of
daughters,
kids.
A gaggle of girls with her. Yeah, exactly. But that's where Hannah and Jordan are. And Hannah starts it by saying, I'm not used to having an audience. And I was like, wait, I'm sorry, are we looking at two-sided glass? Like, did they buy the room that has an audience? What do you mean audience? We find out there are, like, Cupids all over that she's talking about.
But, like, this is another thing. I'm like, this is such a weird opening scene.
Yes.
Because it's, like, 15 seconds, then they start having sex again.
And that was crazy. I was like, I mean, they're really just, they continue to push farther and farther. We're adults now, and we fuck.
Let's give him something to watch.
I mean, literally.
Let's give him something to watch.
And then she gets on top of him, and the covers fall down, and we see her bare back. And I'm like, okay, hey, every girl had to have
we've
one.
We've seen that before.
Every girl had to have one. It's in their nudity rider that every girl gets to have a bare back shot.
Ashley Benson's like, hey,
where's
don't
mine?
I think I forgot about the clause in my contract.
Oh, let me guess. Hefty Hannah doesn't have one? Huh. Okay, yeah. Actually, I do. And the budget for this is getting amped up. Yeah, I'm investing. Okay? I'd like to be an executive producer for this episode. Okay? And give Hannah what she really deserves. I love that.
And so So this that scene was like 10 seconds long, and then we go to the little like Radley hallway, and this is also like a short.
Did you have the same thought that I had though? Because last episode, y'all, Spencer is yelling down that hall. She's like, Aria! Are you like, down like, oh. there? Like, we're like, Aria like, is oh, dead at the bottom of this pit. She is dead. And then Spencer goes down, turns out, oh no, Aria's just standing there, just kind of having a moment to herself. She could hear you. She could hear you totally fine, Spence.
She's been waiting. She's been holding the flashlight like this with her mouth
waiting
agape,
for somebody to find her that way
to come down
and say, so she can be what's like, wrong?
So
yeah.
So she can freeze and go, hey, Spence.
Yeah.
You're going to want to see this.
Yeah. I mean, literally, Arya's like, is there anything better than somebody looking at you with concern and saying, Arya, what's wrong? No, what a rush. Like, that's what she wants right now. I just thought it was so funny. I'm like, if I'm Spencer and I'm like, all right, I'm going back upstairs. Fuck you. Like, I just, what? I just went down this ladder so fast. What if I fell? Arya's like, okay, I'm in wedge heels. Like, if you fall in ballet flats, that's a you problem. Anyway.
So they see this, like, terrifying little like switchboard or something.
Yeah.
It looks like a bunch of rat traps.
It sure does.
It's very, it's reminiscent of the dollhouse. And A goes, guess we find out where Cece learned all her tricks.
A does not say that. Spencer does. You go and oh, A says, I'm like, oh my God, oh. I missed a major, major moment if A is the one that comes out of the shadows and says that. No, but there's also like a doorknob that doesn't have any dust on it and everything else does. So they're like, someone's been down here.
This is how I actually know that I'm an idiot, because I'd be like, well, I would probably still go in the door, you know, but I wouldn't be like,
Phoebe's
no
like,
dust.
Phoebe's like, wait, this is dust? Okay, this is all over the place in my apartment. I thought this just came with the place. I thought this was just what happened. Oh my God, this is dust. Yuck.
I saw this TikTok of this person who, like, I guess they saw a TikTok of someone painting the blades of their like fan, their mm-hmm. like room fit, like one of those like the fan that we have like in the basement.
Oh God. And then they went to do it and they noticed it was just an inch of dust.
They actually didn't say anything about the dust. They said, I thought this was gonna look different, and all the comments go, well, it doesn't really matter because that needed to be cleaned.
They're like, no, the important job got done. Like, you wiped off the blades. Thank God. You tried to paint over the... She, like, wipes off the paint. It comes off with the layer of dust. She's like, okay. I didn't paint the actual surface. Okay. Anyway, so they go through, and then they find, like, there's another filing cabinet, and they move it out of the way, which I was like, okay, we're going to open the drawers, right? Not Arya finding like, the filing cabinet and being like, let's move it, instead of opening it. But
and
good thing
also
they did.
Not Spencer Hastings of all people saying, yeah,
let's
what about
back.
The file cabinet? I'm like, what?
There's
Spencer, this is
Spencer.
Like, this is you written all over
Spencer,
it.
You've never met a file cabinet you weren't very interested in seeing the inside of, okay? It's just not
literally.
Really like you. So they move
also,
it
they,
and
they
crawl out a hole and they come out outside. And Spencer goes, are we still in Pennsylvania? And I'm like, finally
I'm like,
somebody
portal.
Asked it. Finally someone's like, portals. We're kind of used to this. So like, we could be anywhere. We could be in fucking Antarctica.
I don't believe they're like, wow, Radley must have walled this off before they sold it to Ashley Merritt. And I'm like, there's no one was like, wait, there's more building behind this wall, but this must be it.
They
this
were
must
like,
be it.
They're like, we are desperate to get this off of our hands. And frankly, guys, we cannot believe that a mother of one of the girls who was held by one of our former inmates, we cannot believe that she wants to buy it. So we're just going to skip we're not even going to tell her. We're just going to pretend we don't even know about that. And she
and we're
can
not
have
even
going to
move all the
it.
Stuff that could get us in trouble.
No,
we're just going to
no.
leave it all there.
Between you and me,
but
Hannah wasn't the thorough one out of the group. So I figure Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. We're good if it's Ashley Marin owning this joint. So they get outside and they're like, oh, fuck. This explains
so this
how Sarah
how like, this is how
got in and out of her hotel room without being seen.
Yeah. Then we go to the barn and Spencer and Caleb are just catching up. And Spencer tells Caleb about everything. And then Caleb is like, Spence, I got to tell you something. Did you know your mom was sick?
Jesus
and I'm like,
Christ.
Wait, we couldn't. The way that this is handled, I'm like, Caleb, I think we could have, like, eased into this.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. I was just kind of like.
But Spencer's also like, yeah,
maybe,
I know.
Maybe my mind was elsewhere watching this. Spencer's like, obviously, I knew, you fucking idiot. God. Okay. You're going to need to start keeping up. Okay. If we're going to keep doing this, you need to keep up. Toby could kind of read my mind. So that's sort of what I'm expecting from you. But we find out that Vivi's actually been sick for like a long time and Spencer thought it was over. But Yvonne's team has all of Vivi's medical records, which is not legal. And it says that.
Sorry, has Mona written all over it, except we find out later it doesn't.
Well, it sort of does, but also sort of doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
But it turns out she was like having scans 8 months ago and they said they're cautiously optimistic. So it looks like it's not over. Spencer doesn't know. And Caleb is like, I think they're going to release these and try to make it look like your mom's not fit for office. And this is the situation. Crazy.
Crazy.
It's almost like politics are a dirty game.
They mentioned that the scans aren't like scans from like a PDF or something. You can see that someone like took a picture of.
Which is even more illegal.
Sinister. Yeah. So then we go to Caroline. Were you so happy?
I couldn't believe my eyes. I was agog. I was aghast. I was actually walking on air. And so was Lieutenant Butterscotch, because you know she's in Sky High Stilettos most likely.
And you know she she hates being in Rosewood.
Oh.
But she got that phone call and she actually, we find out that they didn't even really need the state police here. And she was like, wait, so what's going on in Rosewood?
She's on vacation. Vacationing in Rosewood just because she wants to be closer to the action.
She's on PTO right now.
Yeah, she's literally on PTO. Oh my God.
It was a little bit like, we find out that the state police are involved in Rollins, similar to me. Can't, but he's like, wait, the state police? Like,
yeah.
I know this is an intense murder, but like, it's not like, this massive, like, what? Like, he's a little bit like, what? And Allie's like, get used to it.
Allie's like, I'm kind of a big deal around here, okay? if there's a link to me, you can bet your bottom dollar the SWAT team, the FBI is going to show up. Any moment now, POTUS is going to be walking the streets. Anyway, so LB is talking to Allie and Rollins, and they're kind of explaining that Cece obviously struggled and fought back before she was killed, and the murder weapon's been identified as a long, hollow metal rod with a rectangle shape at the end.
Yeah.
The way they describe this is like very bizarre.
I'm not any athlete. I'm not any sports expert, but that doesn't sound like a 9-iron to me.
No, honestly, Fee, I thought it did. I was
because it's hollow.
I know, but later when they were like, Allie's like, it wasn't a 9-iron. It was a long metal stick that's hollow with a rectangle at the end. I'm like, isn't that exactly what a golf club is? Like a long metal stick with a rectangle at the end. I was like, and what's your point?
But when you see what it is, do you understand that?
But I'm still like. I mean, if I thought that, anyone could have thought that.
If I'm Allie, I'm like, okay, what does that mean?
If I'm Allie, I'm like, English, please. Could I get sketch?
I guess
like,
Allie, they explained that there was an imprint of the thing. So I think that the presumption is that if it's hollow, there was probably like an impression of the shape, rather than a golf club would probably just be like bruising and internal.
Yeah. But if it's an impression of the shape, that's. Are you insinuating that like it was done like a stabbing or like it was like a whacking? You know what I mean? Because it's two different.
I think they're saying a stabbing.
Okay.
Because there's I think that's how they know that it's a rectangle and hollow.
So that's also like someone would have had to like charge Cece. Okay, also, Melissa. Melissa would have had to.
If we're going to say that it's Melissa, then it's like.
Then it's like girl power.
It's like okay sisters.
It's like okay older sister like, vibes as fuck, and I love that for her.
But Melissa's like, I am dying to be able to say that I've killed for my sister. I didn't get to say it with Bethany Young because she fucking.
She's
lived.
Like, and I really tried. I really fucking tried. Okay, but I need to beat the bad sister allegations. So let me
I
have
just feel
this.
Like Melissa, you had to have access to murder weapons that are better than the fucking like suitcase rod.
And quite frankly, Melissa, you do. You're a Hastings. There are guns in the house.
Exactly.
We know this. Like, anyway, so then LB is like, okay, well, have you heard of a restaurant called Two Crows? Because somebody called this house, the De Laurentiis dungeon from Two Crows the night that Cece was killed. And Allie's like, nobody called. Like, I was here. And Rollins kind of like gets himself a little guilty.
Rollins is like, yeah, nobody called here. Me and Allie were here all night getting busy.
We were.
We know.
We know. Okay. I mean, we might
we were
have.
Here all
I
night.
Guess we. I guess we were a little
maybe,
loud.
Maybe we could have missed
we
it.
We could have missed it. Okay. I'm also like, Rollins, chill. You're kind of acting guilty. You're kind of acting like you're a guilty person. And you know what? You look like a weasel too. So now, whether or not you are guilty, I've ascribed this to you. You are guilty in my book. Anyway, they're like, no one called. And Butterscotch is like, well, actually they did. Because the line was picked up and it was a 3-minute phone call. So just chew on that for a bit. And she walks on out.
I'm like, Elliot's like, okay, Cece was kind of tired of hearing us. She had to take a walk.
Okay, she was literally in Radley for a long time. Like, she might have wanted a phone call. Yeah, she might have felt good to talk to a friend. Okay, I mean, what? Anyway, they think something happened with that phone call, obviously.
Right. So we go to the brew and we're filling Emily in on everything. And I'm like, is Emily just... good? She just had like invasive egg retrieval surgery and she's walking around in a skirt.
It went horribly awry. So mentally, yeah. Physically, what's the status, Em?
I just like would assume that the recovery time for a procedure like that might be a little longer than like 12 hours.
I don't actually know what it is the recovery time is like. If anyone's had egg retrieval, let us know. I do not actually know the answer to that. I know they put you under, so I mean, I'm sure it's like, but I do think that it's outpatient. Like, I think you just, you know, you have to rest. But
I'm
but
just thinking
that's
of
not
Kat
really
Cohen
Emily's whole vibe
after hers.
True.
I'm thinking of Kat Cohen's video.
Well, I do think it's, I mean, it's very hard on the body, and so
yeah.
Emily, goddamn, it has been through a lot.
Lily's here. Lily came to surprise this girl, and Arya's like, I'm single in Rosewood.
Hey, what the fuck are you doing here? And in the brew, no less. You don't know the significance, but this is not. Oh, okay, I'm feeling a little. I'm schwitzing. I am schwitzing, Lily. Get the fuck like, out.
She's like, normally I love when a man that's not Ezra is with me here, and I can't.
Yeah.
Ezra jealous, but
yes,
Ezra's,
but Ezra's not here,
right,
so you can't be here. Okay. When Ezra comes back, I'll call you. Well, Emily starts walking by, and Arya's like, "Emily, this is Liam," and Emily's like, "We met. Bye." She has no interest in Liam.
And Liam is like nice, but I'm also like, this is why they're together, because he says, "Yeah," on the computer.
Yeah.
and then Emily's like, "Okay."
Emily, I feel like also like, what has Arya said? About Liam.
All the girls?
No, about Liam to the girls. We're like, because I can imagine that Arya dates, like,
she's
Liam,
prepping the girls.
Well, Liam's so obviously like.
She can be with Ezra while she's
no,
here.
No, I think she doesn't realize. I think all the things that make Liam and Arya and Ezra insufferable are not insufferable things to Arya. So when Arya's talking about Liam, I think, to her friends, she's probably telling them like all these like kind of asshole-y things that he's like said and like pretentious things he's said and done. And like they don't bother her. And everyone else is probably like, okay, like this guy sounds like such a fucking dick. Like we can't stand him. So I imagine that like they meet him and Arya's like, why are you guys being such a dick? And they're all like, we fucking, everything you told us about him, like he sucks. Like he sounds like he sucks. Like, and I would love to hear. Don't you think that like that's how Arya, you hear,
yes,
people talk about their
absolutely
boyfriends and you're like, I don't want to meet this person at all. Like,
at all.
Yeah, I feel like that is the vibe here. But anyway, they're talking because he looks at Arya and says, you and I need to talk about Ezra Fitz and the book. And I'm like, that is not music to Arya's ears. Arya did not
okay,
want to hear
I'm,
that today.
I'm obsessed with later on when he goes, Jillian just had some notes.
And she's like, what notes?
Arya's like, huh? On what?
About what? Tone? Okay, I don't have any issues with tone. Ezra.
Ezra.
Z. I mean, Mr. Fitz. I mean, anyway, so then we go to campaign headquarters. Spencer wants to talk to her mom. And like, this is not the space. If you were here to talk to Vivi about like her having cancer.
And also like, hey,
a day like this
don't
is not
waste
the time.
My time.
That's
don't
how I felt too.
Time.
We don't even need to
this
touch on this.
So
it's
pointless.
A nothing. She doesn't get to talk to her mom. It's a nothing burger. She doesn't get to talk to her. That's that. Okay, so Emily.
That's now in Caroline's vernacular.
Yeah, of course. It's just something I learned along the way.
The subtle gifts of the pod.
Emily's going to the Hollis Medical Center. Okay, this story like makes my heart hurt. Like this is just.
Emily,
This whole story, though, not just Emily.
Tell Vivi to quit the campaign. She's got someone to represent in the court of law.
Exactly.
And sue the Hollis Medical Center for all of their work.
I said exactly what I meant is exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because Emily shows up to the Hollis Medical Center. Tell me why there's a note on the door. It's like, unfortunately, we've canceled all appointments and we couldn't send an email. You couldn't send an email? You couldn't do a call? Do you know how mad some of these women are going to be?
Imagine if someone like...
These women have been pumping themselves with hormones and they're going
to
show up.
Imagine our mom showing up to a doctor's appointment and they
sign on the door. And oh, I don't think so, honey.
Imagine a day like this. We're going to the endocrologist. Oh. Mom's taking us out. We're basically missing the whole day of school.
The endocrinologist is a whole day thing because we're going to the Cheesecake Factory afterwards.
Well, exactly.
To make ourselves feel better. To make ourselves. I used to be like, I hate going to the endocrinologist. I hate it. Even though our doctor was so sweet. But I was like, I know afterwards mom feels so bad that we just had to go to the doctor and have the doctor be like, so like, let's amp up the physical activity. And mom feels so bad about it. And Phoebe's had to get blood drawn. On, which like was a whole thing, you know, and so mom feels so bad she has to take us to get cheesecake, and we're like, okay, fine, okay. And I that's what I love about our childhood is it was like, yeah, we're just gonna like do the thing that's gonna make you want to fucking die as a little kid, but like then mom's gonna be like, let's go emotional eat.
we used to always act like it was like in the area. We'd be like,
the opposite 45 minute car ride, like in the opposite direction, and there's a wait. Doesn't matter what time of day it is, there's a wait. Okay.
And we're missing an entire day of school.
Yes. And we don't feel bad about it. Mom's like, well, is it okay if you miss this period? And you're like, yeah. Like you don't talk about it before you go in the morning. You're like, mom's like, can you miss six period? And you're like, no. I'm like, that's my honors freakout class. I absolutely can't miss that. Yeah, it's nothing. It's a study hall basically.
You go to like one period of the day so that like
I wasn't going to any. Because I'm also having a little bit of a moment in the morning about it. I'm also like, I can't go to school. I have to mentally prep for this, for what I'm about to experience. Standing on the scale. I hate doing that. And guys, guess what? Oh, I have an endocrinologist appointment next week. I hate going as an adult. I need to go to the doctor so bad.
Just a general doctor.
In my mind, if I go to the endocrinologist every 6 months, I don't need a PCP.
That's how I always felt like, I know I do. Why do I have a pediatrician?
I was like, who's my PCP? I don't know. Like, I don't know. They don't do anything for me. They don't prescribe me any meds.
I almost said our doctor's name.
Who's doctor? I don't have one.
Our doctor from our childhood. That's, in my head, that was our PCP because we saw her the most. Frequently. Yeah. And also, we'd go to our pediatrician. It's like a different person every time.
Different person every time.
Sorry, I don't have a primary care physician because there are 800 of them.
But then I got one. Then I got a PCP. And this is a story for another day. If you guys ever want to hear about, maybe it's a story for the Patreon, but she had me, quote, weaning off of my antidepressants to change into new ones. Let me tell you. I'll send her a bill for emotional damages for those 6 months that I was going through withdrawal. Yeah, fuck you. I go to the psychiatrist. She's like, actually, her face is white hearing the story. She's like, that is like the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing here with this. So anyway, okay, back to this show.
So that's Spencer leaves. We go to...
We're at the Hollis Medical Center, and Emily's like, okay, this sign can't stop me because I can't read, knocks on the door.
The same thing. And then the doctor comes out, and she goes, Emily.
I'm like, oh my God. Okay, kind of nice of her to like remember your name. Well, she feels so bad. She's like, oh, I had to look at you and tell you that you're not. But wait, we learned in this episode, it turns out Emily is still getting the money. So that's okay. That makes you feel way better.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I thought she wasn't getting the money.
And it must be a good amount because Hannah says that she can finish school later in the episode.
Yeah, I literally thought she was like, they dropped out. You're not getting the money now. You just did all of this. And that's why last week we're like, no, there needs to be something in the contract. It's like she probably got paid this whole time. Like every time she did injections, you know what I mean? So I bet she got a lot of the money like up front as she was going through the treatments and stuff like that, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Anywho, but so the girl does come out.
And she's like, there was nothing we could do. We have backups and backups to the backups, but everything for the power was cut and we lost an entire freezer unit. And you can see in Emily's face, she's like, this is high school all over again.
Oh my God.
I know that, like, you are acting like it's a freak accident, and I know that it wasn't.
And Emily's also like, and I know that it's my fault. Like, it's
she's
these,
feeling the guilt
of,
like, all these eggs have been lost.
She says, like, 30 families. And just especially, like, I feel like it's much more like an open conversation now about women and fertility and these kind of things. But I do think a lot of that is that I'm like, you know, at childbearing age, apparently. And which is not to say I won't be bearing a child, but I am technically that age. And I think that I just maybe see a lot more of it. But I just like, I know how for some people, like, it is just, it is the only thing that they think about is just starting this family and having a family and how can we do it? And if this is the way to do it, and it's so expensive, yeah. It takes such a toll on your body. Like, it is by no means an easy thing to go through and to think of 30 families losing this, like, and having to be the person to make those phone calls and then having to be Emily, who knows this never would have happened to those 30 people. If her eggs hadn't been in the freezer. There's also part of her, like, obviously this is a freak thing. It's not Emily's fault that somebody is like after her in this way. But I think if Emily wanted to get really self-loathing with it, she could be like, well, I blew through all that money and ruined my chances at college. So really, like, I'm doing this not because of something that someone else did to me. I am doing this because I fucked up my life a little bit on my own, and now I'm trying to fix it, and like, now this happened. It's like, but if I had not fucked my life up in the first place, I wouldn't even be doing this, you know. And these third, like, so I just feel like it's such a, like, if you want to get real spirally with it, Emily totally could. It's so sad.
We go back to the honeymoon suite and Hannah wakes up to like 8 trillion texts. I feel like I'm in the movie Cyber Bully, like the way that we're seeing all of these texts on the screen, and Jordan's not there. And then she hears like a knocking on the door, and then it's like, she's like,
I did
freaking
not
out.
Like how quickly she opened that door, and there's like no people.
She didn't even look.
And low key, it's like a scary door. And like, it's the first time we're seeing the like one black door and this place. Like, it just is a different vibe from this vantage point. And Hannah just opens it. I'm like, okay, this, all right, come on, street smarts, Hannah. But it's okay. It's Jordan. Thank God.
And there's like room service there, and she didn't order it, and he's like, I just like went to go make a couple calls, so I didn't like wake you up. And she's being mean to Jordan this episode. I understand she's on edge, but he is like her punching bag this episode. And he's like, okay, we'll go back to Rosewood. And he's also like having this moment of like, last night you were like anywhere but Rosewood, and now you're like, we have to go back to Rosewood.
And it's like, it's just getting to that point where she's having to lie about things again, and it's getting back into the cycle. And like, it's just, yeah, it's but she is not being nice. And so he goes to like take a shower or something, and she opens the room service platter. This is crazy. There are 2 eggs and like a smiley bacon, like somebody made like a smiley face, and they put the fork in the sunny side up egg yolk that was supposed to be his eye, so that the yolk is like dripping. It looks like his eye got stabbed with a fork. And then it says "Poor Jordy," like in ketchup over it, which I, by the way, hate ketchup and eggs. It makes me want to throw up when I see people doing that.
Well, especially sunny side up eggs.
Any eggs and ketchup makes me like, it actually makes me feel queasy talking about it. Do you ever do that?
Scrambled eggs, ketchup.
Oh my god, I can't even talk to you about this. But I mean, it makes me feel sick to my stomach.
That's
you
crazy.
Just made me feel sick to my stomach. Just kidding.
Just imagine, maybe it's sriracha, maybe it's hot sauce. They wrote
that's
it.
It's also gross, but it's okay. It's better. But anyway, there's also,
that's wild.
I know it is. I'm not the majority with this. I know. Look at me, always on the outs, always on the wrong side of history.
We go to the dealer in his dungeon, and Allie has been like these last couple episodes trying different things out with her makeup. And okay, this is the best she's looked this season.
Yeah, I think that like, I know she's been trying out different things with the makeup, and I don't think the hair is the exact right color for her skin tone, but I do think she looks really pretty.
This episode especially. I just mean like, we had the first episode when she had like her smoky eye.
Yeah.
As she was teaching like 9th grade English.
It's not really like matching up with who we're knowing her to be in this moment.
Also, Sasha Peterson made a good point on that. I think it was the podcast. She said that thing. Also, I saw a clip where she was like, my character like wasn't in high school.
Yeah.
Wasn't learning. And then like, we flash forward
and
only 5 years
teacher.
Forward, and she's fully teaching.
I know. Like, okay, Sasha, get on the pod, because we have been seeing that. I also like that we open the scene at the dealer in his dungeon by looking at this hilarious little baby pic of Sasha Peterson, where she's like, it's obviously like a dance recital. Did you miss this? It's obviously like, you know, those photo shoots kids do before their dance recital and they do it in their costume.
Well, yes, of course.
It's obviously one of those. Her hair is in like spiral curls and she's like young and it's hilarious. And it opens just with like a shot of that. And then it goes to all the girls on the couch and they are filling in Allie on everything. And they start talking about the golf
the
club.
The girls are killing me though. Because Allie's like having this realization of like, wait, you guys have been like actively working on stuff. And I just not have no including idea. Because they're like, yeah, the murder weapon was a golf club.
And Allie's like, huh?
As if Allie's not in these conversations with the actual people that are investigating literally her sister's murder. These girls come in, they're like, it was a golf club.
Allie's like, so no, it wasn't. And Emily's like, wait, are we being punked? Like they're like shocked that anything could be getting they could be getting anything wrong. And then Allie asks the girls if they've heard of the Two Crows restaurant. So we're back to Lily and Aria at the Brew, and he's asking, like, has Ezra sent more pages? And Aria said yes. And so that's why Liam's here, because he wants to read them, because he didn't think Aria could, like, upload them on the internet because they're so classified. And this is where he's like, and yeah, Jillian has some notes about tone. And Aria's like, what? What? It's funny.
We go to the loft and Jordan's, like, unloading groceries while Emily is telling Hannah about the egg situation. And Em's like, stay, or Hannah says, stay here. Not at Pam.
Stay at Lucas's loft.
That is not going to be good for your
mental
anxiety levels if you're there with Pam and you're having to hide this. The fact that all your eggs are gone.
Literally, that is so true. But also, it's just funny. I'm like, okay, and again, this is no one lives here. No one in this room right now lives here. So Anna's just like, just stay here. I don't know when Lucas gets back, but he'll be fine with it. If you guys have to share a space for a little bit and cohabitate, that's cool. He's great. He's really rich now. Anyway, so they're like, did somebody kill Charlotte because they thought that we wanted them to kill Charlotte? Like, they're trying to figure out the motive here because they don't think that the person who's sending them the texts killed Charlotte.
Who killed Charlotte.
They want revenge on whoever did. But then the idea is that whoever did might have done it because they thought the girls wanted that to be done.
They're acting like they are just realizing that. I was like, that was pretty clear from the start that they were here to avenge Charlotte's death.
Yes.
We go to the store and Mona and Spencer's freaking standoff.
Oh, this is a great Mona Spencer scene. I couldn't either. It is just giving the store. Mona's like looking in a like antique handheld mirror when Spencer walks in. And it's just like such a funny Spona moment. Mona and Spencer have this hilarious interaction where Spencer's like, what happens if I just ask you something? And Mona's like, try it and find out. Okay,
Ella Montgomery.
Do we both have to speak in riddles? Like, it's just so goofy. So anyway, Mona's like, or Spencer says, did you tell Yvonne to leave her phone at lunch on purpose? And Mona says, yes. And she's like, did you tell her to do that to see if she could trust me, to see if I would take it? Mona says, yes. And Spencer's like, did you actually tell her that I took it? Mona says, no. And so it turns out basically the reason Mona did this was so that Spencer could find out about her mom being sick without Mona like breaching contract and telling her that. And she would be aware that this is their plan because Mona thinks it's wrong and wants to help Spencer, which I kind of love. But I'm like, that I never would have figured that out.
No.
Like, that's
never
such
a
windy
years.
Road to get there. But I guess it makes
sense. And
they're
basically like, Yvonne doesn't really know and neither does her mom, who's the candidate. Like, it's the campaign that's going to be doing this. And Mona has this realization at the end of the conversation that Spencer didn't act like Mona thought that she was just sharing the fact that the campaign would spread the information.
Right.
She didn't realize she was
that
telling.
Spencer didn't know. Right.
Exactly. Hormone harmony. Road warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news. With the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PrettyLittlePodcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code prettylittlepodcast for 15% off today.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Right, right, right.
So then we go to the loft, and Jordan is like, so would you guys like believe that it was a malfunction? And Hannah's like, yeah, why?
Hannah is biting his head off. And he's just like, I mean, Hannah keeps kind of being in this like conspiracy land, which makes total sense. Like, we know, but, and I keep forgetting what all Jordan knows about Hannah's past, but like, he just is telling her, you know, like everything isn't a conspiracy. If you look for things in the shadows, you are going to find them, which is true. Yeah. You know, and he asks her to come back to New York and she's like, I can't, Emily needs me. And he's like, yeah, but what does Hannah need? And I'm like, haven't we all been asking that? Haven't we all?
Yes, everybody but Hannah has been asking that.
Correct.
We go to the Montgomery Mausoleum, and this Liam is sitting at Byron's desk, which is like, Arya's like, and you can sit at Byron's desk.
Arya's like, God,
sorry, my dad's
I'm
desk.
Fighting. I am fighting the urge to just jump over that desk and rip your clothes off right now, because, oh, it gets me going when I see you with your glasses reading my work behind mahogany, surrounded by mahogany wood, poetry books on the table, the smell of ink leather and parchment. Like, she's literally just part. Like, it's like her dream, except for she's terrified because she knows he's reading her work and he yes. knows her so well.
He says, I really like them, but there's just like, there's conflicting voices sometimes. And that sends Arya into orbit.
She's like, I thought Ezra and I thought as one. How can this be possible?
And he's like, she's like, well, maybe I fixed the syntax a little bit and like all this stuff.
Whatever that means.
And he's like, I get this rush reading his work. The same rush I get when I read your work. And Arya says, well, he was my teacher. He was my my teacher.
He was my one true English professor. Okay. He was the only English professor I had in high school. So then Liam's like,
professor?
Liam's like, oh,
yeah,
sorry.
I just called him Professor Fitz.
I mean, I called him Ezra because we were just kind of like, it felt more like I was like on his level than this other students.
It felt,
I think,
like peership, because like we worked on this play together and I was like the assistant director and like we just got really close through that.
Yeah.
And you know what art does, you know what working on,
you
art
know how
with
it's just
does.
A different kind of relationship. You get it. I know you get it.
It's the great equalizer, really.
Right. Theater is blind. So he tells her that, like, he knows that she wrote this because she put in the man with the straw hat, which was, like, as somebody that they saw on, like, a trip together. She goes, fuck, you were with me. I'm like, was this, like, a romantic trip you took together and you don't remember who you were with? And she's like, I thought I was with Z. Like, what?
He was, like, the man in the straw hat from Logan. I was there. And she's like, you were with me.
I'm like,
you were
I'm
in
like
the airport with
the
me.
Man in the yellow hat Arya's, from Curious George. Arya's. That's our thing. That's our book. You put him in there. That's plagiarism, Arya. He already exists in another work, okay, another
and
series.
And then Arya has to be like, yeah, so I did write it. And Z has no freaking clue.
Yeah, he's like, does he know, what are you doing here? Like, what is your plan? And I don't think Arya has any clue. So Spencer is telling Caleb about what Mona did, and she asks him to corrupt the file or erase the report so that they can't leak it. And he's like, I obviously can't do that.
Caleb goes, listen, I am a fly on the wall right now. The second I delete something, sirens go
alarms,
all around and
yeah.
I'm out of there.
There's no way. And Spencer, come on, you know that. And he's like, your mom just needs to go public with this. And she's like, well,
I'm having a moment with Caleb where I am realizing that I think Hannah made him likable.
Okay, Phoebe, because this episode is not a good episode for Caleb, but I know it's part of it is the flashback we get that we're about to get to that I did not like. but I think, yeah, I think you might be onto something with that. I mean, you know what it is. Hannah leveled him out and brought out like the redeeming parts of Caleb, and Spencer, like he's gonna like kind of adapt to the mindset of who he's with. And Spencer doesn't have a happy-go-lucky bone in her body. Like, she wants to be on and thinking like this all the time. And I think these are the kind of annoying parts of Caleb, but it is like his expertise. It's just like if Arya wasn't dating someone who was a writer, she might not be as fucking annoying about it. You know what I mean?
True. But because that's it's actually so true.
Because they can talk about it all the time and it's like they're like feeding off of each other and like, making it worse. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So I feel like that's also like if Spencer and Caleb are together and they're just constantly thinking about like super spy shit like this, like Phoebe Connell's spy school, you know, then
right, of course
then it's gonna be more annoying than like the more genuine sort of, as I also feel like
I also love that the letterhead on that notepad was Foe's detective agency. I noticed that as well.
I thought it was interesting. Anyway, so Hannah then texts Caleb, can I buy you a drink? And I was like, oh fuck. Fuck. Yeah. So Arya explains to Liam.
Basically, they're they're basically like Vivi has to go public with this information before. Oh, sorry.
Arya's explaining everything to Liam. She just wanted to keep Jillian interested, so she sent the chapters. And she's like, "Well, is Ella or is Ezra going to be in trouble?" And he wants her to finish the chapter, and then if Ezra's not back, they'll figure it out. Like, okay, whatever.
He's
I'm over this.
The difference between risking trouble and high adventure?
Like, okay, this is annoying the fuck out of me. And honestly, Lily, what's the difference between you and Ezra besides age? Because at this point, there's not one. So Hannah and Caleb are getting drinks at the Radley. And she says, I poked the bear and the bear stole Emily's eggs. Why did because Hannah deleted the footage?
Yeah, I don't really. She's just blaming herself for everything.
The twists and turns here.
Caleb says bullies don't need an excuse. Like if you hadn't done whatever she thinks was the inciting incident, there would have been a different inciting incident. Like something else would have been the thing to poke the bear.
Right. And he calls this person A. And she's like, well, this isn't A. This is something different. And he's like, well, it's really just like a symbol or a letter. Like it's, which is sort of how
this
I've been feeling
like,
about
this
it too.
Is Spencer.
Exactly. This like
is, the way he's explaining it to Hannah. I'm like, this isn't, if you and Hannah were still together, this isn't how you would be.
Well, it's like, I feel
speaking
like,
about
exactly.
It.
And I feel like the same way when we get like Spencer and Mona together, like it's just a little bit too powerful because it's just like, they're going to feed egg each other on. And that's why Spencer needs crate time. And I think that Toby in a lot of ways, like provided that crate time for Spencer because it was like, okay, let's put off, like take off our detective hats.
He's the off button. He doesn't have a whole ton going up in there, even though he's a cop. He doesn't have a whole ton.
Hannah was protecting Caleb from so much of this. She didn't want him involved. Whereas Spencer's like, I want you so involved. We're both going to be involved. We're going to be like this power couple that does
it
together.
When they were in high school, Spencer would have called Caleb up every single chance she got.
Absolutely.
To help. And Hannah was the one who was like, no, we're not getting Caleb involved with this.
And now she just has more unfettered access to Caleb. And like there no longer is anybody here to rein her in because now her friendship with Hannah is weird, too. And like I think typically Hannah would have kind of reeled Caleb in out of protection for him. And I think it shows that their like love was better than it was a healthier, more sustainable love than like what Spencer and Caleb have going on. They're talking about all this and they're like, okay, well, maybe this person isn't A and it's not the same person, but they want the same thing, which is to fuck with you guys. And they kind of have a moment of like reconnecting and Caleb's into like micro brews now. And he got that from Toby. I think it basically is like, you know, heady beer, like IPA, like small batch, like brew skis.
So we get this flash. Well, Hannah gets the check and like holds Caleb's arm when she does it. She's
like,
I got it.
He tries to pay and she grabs his arm to stop him.
She has like a Raven. Yeah. She has like a Raven Simone moment where like she touches his skin and like flashes back to this moment. When she's in No Offense, Hannah, a terrible dress. I hate a dress like that.
Oh, I thought she but it's so high school Hannah. Like it's so like she looked so back to the basics, like the hair too. Like it's so who she has always been. But, okay, Caleb, like, you're being an asshole. And this scene, I was like, maybe it's a good thing you broke up. Like, because if you're going to act like this, I don't want you with Spencer still. But if you're going to act like this, Hannah doesn't need you. You're holding her back. Because he's out there, first of all, playing
Jordan
with a cat in the alley. Like, get out of the alley with that mangy thing.
Strike one.
That's a street cat in the alley. Get out of there. And then he's like just being a dick about how he's like not having fun here and everybody in there is named Sybil because they all act like a Sybil and he like doesn't know her boss's name, like things like that. And I'm also like, Sybil doesn't make me think of anyone in like the fashion industry, really. It's not a name that I like Kind of, no offense if your name is Sybil, but it kind of sounds like someone who's like older and like a librarian, not someone who's like
Downton Abbey, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Something like that.
Hannah's like, all right, you can fucking leave. I don't want you here, but are you going to come to the Hamptons? And he goes, the Hamptons are just Manhattan. You have to drive 3 hours to get to.
Like, oh my God. Okay, no, also, no, it's
okay,
not.
Okay, someone get Paige DeSorbo in here.
Yeah,
get
Paige DeSorbo explain here to the difference between Manhattan and the Hamptons, okay? Because let me tell you, it's not the same. You've obviously never watched Summer House, which is another issue, Caleb. But when he hands her his drink, I was like, and what do you want her to do with that?
Is she a waiter?
He's sitting there and he literally looks at her and just like reaches out his drink to hand it to her and she just takes it. And I was like, She better take a sip. Like, that better be why he handed it to her. Because, like, have a sip.
She better dump it on his head.
No.
And then he leaves. He leaves and he goes, don't become a Sybil.
Well, he goes, she's okay. Like, well, what do you want? And he's like, well, what do you want? Because I want to go back to knowing what the other person wanted. And then he leaves and he's like, I'm going back. She's like, well, are you going to the apartment? He's like, where else would I go? And then he's like, don't be a Sybil. Oh, my God. This is her dream. And this hasn't changed. You know this. Yeah. That's
and you
why
knew that. That's
I'm
why
like,
you got that job in New York.
I want
at the
more
end
of this.
Whatever that was.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck was
we
that?
We get more.
We do. Okay.
We go to the brew, and I actually laughed out loud at Emily in this scene.
Oh, she's had it.
It's giving that sound on TikTok that goes, "Here I am enjoying my evening," and
when
then
I
this
hear
grating
this grating voice. Yes, the Abby Lee
Emily
Miller one.
Emily is sitting on the couch, probably waiting for like Sabrina to give her the time of day again.
Yeah.
So she can be like, hey, sorry about my friend. I can't stand her either. She's just, we kind of like, there's like this whole thing in our history. Like, we can't.
Maybe I could
just
tell you about it
there.
Over nightcap.
A cappuccino.
A cappuccino, decaf.
And we hear this voice, the unmistakable voice of Lieutenant Butterscotch. And Emily's face, she goes,
she is so annoyed.
She like breathes in and rolls her eyes because Lieutenant Butterscotch is walking behind her. It's so funny. And Emily,
which
is
also
like,
how I react when people comment on my caffeine intake. Like, mind your own
fucking
business.
You can drink coffee this late. And Emily's literally like, I'm
tea.
About to Hulk out, but I am literally keeping myself together.
It's tea. Anyway, so then LB is like, you know what's interesting is that this homicide, Cece's homicide, was the first murder in 5 years. The second you guys come back, somebody dies. I just think it's interesting. I just think it's an interesting connection. And what I want to say to you, LB.
She goes, Lieutenant Butterscotch goes, I think that is an interesting statistic, don't you? And Emily goes, I don't know a lot about statistics.
Which is similar to Hannah earlier being like, yeah, you have no idea how much algebra comes up in my everyday life. Caleb's like, A is just like a variable. It's just like a symbol. but Emily, one thing I wanted to point out, LB, is that the other thing that is a common denominator here is that we know
Cece.
Somebody who was not well was out of Radley where they were supposed to be. Like, the common denominator isn't necessarily these girls. Like, it's this person who they literally had like a hearing about even letting out of Radley because they didn't know that she was fit to be like among the public. Like,
and also, I understand they need to keep the girls here because they're like people of interest. However,
right.
You're making this big deal about the fact that the town is now in a more dangerous position now that you guys are all back here, but also
right.
We need you guys to stay.
Yeah.
We need all five of you to stay.
It's here. Very, very bizarre. And so, yeah, Lieutenant Butterscotch is going to take steps to keep all parties in Rosewood until this is resolved.
And then she goes, don't let your tea get cold.
And she says that in a really shitty way, I had to say. Really condescending, really nasty. And it's like, are we going to play nice or no? And this is how I know Lieutenant Butterscotch is on PTO. Because if you were on the clock, that would not have been an appropriate exchange. Anyway,
well, we know that she doesn't really care about
I know
appropriateness.
I know, whatever. So Spencer's putting on her coat, just reminded that her mom's running for office because she's got the little pin. She forgot for a second.
They're like, wait, this scene needs to be 7 seconds longer. Let's Troyan putting her coat on before. We'll put a pin on there, make it a little moment, and
so,
then open the door to Allie.
Exactly. So let's go through the Spencer and Allie thing before we go to that elevator. So
because the elevator is also like, fuck, we need 20 more seconds.
I know. Literally, we're just filling time. So Spencer and Allie are reconnecting And Allie is basically like telling Spencer about what's been going on with Dr. Rollins and how Dr. Rollins saved Charlotte's soul. And then Allie fell in love with him. And Spencer's like, well, you know, it's inappropriate because he was your sister's doctor. And I'm like, and you know, it's inappropriate because your sister's fiance, which I'm about to get eaten alive for saying. I know Spencer's the victim. It's just a funny fucking joke. Okay.
Yeah, it's also inappropriate to kiss your best friend from high school's high school boyfriend.
Boom! And then we know they're not the same levels. If you guys don't know we're woke by now, like, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so anywho, we didn't write this show. So Allie says something that I think is very interesting and astute. She says, Charlotte and I both put a lot of energy into being people no one could love to keep people away, which is so true. And, like, I can think of people who do that. It is such a defense mechanism. And, you know, that makes sense that Allie would do that. And she's like, but then somebody looks at you and, like, sees you and it's all right and it's fine. And I don't want to have to keep me and Rollins a secret anymore.
And then this is how we know Allie does see Spencer for exactly who Spencer is. Because Allie's like, I'm just tired of secrets. And Spencer goes, Allie, there's no time. And Allie goes, you're right.
Allie, like, gets her shit to leave. Yeah. And Spencer's like, no, I meant, like, there's never enough time. And then, like, hold hands. And that's where it's truly this sister moment. Allie's like, thanks, sis.
Sis, who are you?
I really needed this, sis. Really needed some good old sister time.
She opened the door. We didn't see it, but after Spencer opened the door, Allie said, I just need my sis.
Sometimes you just need your sister, huh?
And then we also didn't get to see this, but Spencer goes, I'm your sister.
It's what I do. I was listening to Ride the other day, the Benny drama podcast, and they went on a whole, I'm your sister. It's what I do. Did they start saying that and that's what made us start saying it again? Or
I think that they were the resurgence of
okay.
The line.
I was like, okay, or they listen to us, which they, I kind of like that narrative better, but it's okay.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's the truth, but I'll
look into
that space. I saw this video of Ariana and Cynthia hugging each other. And someone quote tweeted it and said, God, they hug each other like they haven't seen each other in 2 years. And we know it's been 2 days.
And that, but that also, you guys, that's the theater people disease. Okay. And I'm just letting you know, that's very common in these parts. So if you are a thespian or you love someone who is, get used to it. Anyway, so Spencer, we then go and she's standing over Vivi. Vivi's asleep. What? The door's open. What about bugs? The door's open the whole scene. I'm like, the cicadas
no
are loud.
Bugs in Rosewood.
Cicadas are loud and we're filming. It's going to interfere with this. Shut the fucking door. What about the bugs? What about the like air conditioning? What are we doing? The door open. I couldn't think about anything else because that
That's
fucking
crazy.
Door. You didn't even notice
Gil
it?
Gil calls Vivi and the polls aren't great there. And there are 15 undecided voters. And Spencer says, I will personally hunt them down.
It's giving.
And put them on my back and take them to the polls.
It's giving Phoebe Connell last November. It's giving Phoebe Connell November 2024. I will carry anybody who might want to vote for Connell. I'll carry you on my back.
This is giving me calling voters in Nevada.
And you're like, this is inspiring.
Election.
You're like, Caroline, this is moving.
And half these people are like, I already voted. Already voted, girl.
They're like, I already voted, and you're not gonna like who I voted for.
Wait, they're like, wait, there was
another option? Wait, what? Wait. My ballot only had one person. And you're like, and so that's actually, I don't want to start that rumor, but anyway, okay, so she and they're just talking about how like they kind of talk about it without talking about it, though, because Spencer's just like, hey, I'm worried about you and not about the election. And Phoebe's like, look, it's going to be fine. And she goes, I'm having so much fun. And I wish I did this 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. But I'm doing it now. And Spencer's like, you're doing it now. And Phoebe emphasizes right now. I am doing it. And it's like it is kind of this powerful moment where she's like, I'm not going to let this like take what I love away from me. I wasted time not doing this earlier. I'm passionate. I'm happy. Like, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen Vivi this happy. Even though she's working these crazy days, she's falling asleep on the couch. Like, this is the happiest, the warmest we've seen her. And it's really brought her and Spencer close together. And I feel like a few years ago, it would not have had the same effect because there was so much blame on Spencer, you know?
Yeah. Spencer but still doesn't say anything. And I'm like, okay, but we still have to handle, like, if they're going to say, if the campaign's going to do something. Yeah. So, like, Spencer, lock
But
in.
It's such a nice moment. I feel like Spencer's like, I'm not willing to, like, give this up. They say, I love you. I'm like, have I ever heard them say I love you to each other? I don't know.
I feel like we haven't. Every time they do,
we're like, have we ever heard this? That's because it feels so bizarre. It's like robots talking.
We go to this elevator. I don't know where we are. I have no clue.
I'm assuming the Radley, but
I guess. But it's like Mona. What? Anyway, we see Mona standing in there. And then, well, at first, I don't know if we know it's Mona. But then we have this hand violently go through the door to stop it from closing.
I did not
Caleb.
Expect it to be Caleb Rivers.
And
as I live and breathe.
The hell out of her. And he says, if you so much as threaten a hair on Spencer's head, you'll have to deal with me. And I'm like, I don't like the sound of this.
I don't
and
like it Mona either. Says, I'm like, Mona, good for you.
Mona says, tell me, who's the best kisser? Hannah, Spencer, or me?
It is such
and
a good
like,
moment.
And he's like, don't make me say it.
He's like,
don't make me choose.
Don't make me choose. You're all great. You're all different. It's different kissing each of you. Anyway, so Hannah and Aria are now in the Radley, and they're down in the hole. And someone else is down here. And Hannah is not scared. Hannah's like, yeah, let's fucking go. Maybe she needs a fucking hand. Maybe Shower's down here and she needs help. I'm on it. Hannah is ready to... she's like, I'm not interested in like creeping around
and
anymore.
Like, okay, so here's a moment I'm having. At first, I'm like, okay, it's Mona again.
I thought that too.
We have this like long fight
yes.
of Hannah and this girl
and you just
struggling.
See, like,
and
really
I'm like,
pretty
this
dark
is Emily,
hair.
You had to have noticed that this was
and
your best
hey,
friend.
Hey, Emily, why didn't you just say, it's me, I'm Emily?
It's Emily, it's Emily.
Why were there no words exchanged during this physical altercation that lasted at least 15 Mississippis, you know?
She was there looking for her
eggs. She's like, I don't know where that could be. I've looked everywhere. I'm looking everywhere, okay? I'm looking everywhere. I don't know if
kids,
I dropped some.
My kids.
My babies. Where are my babies? This is, we're going to get canceled for this moment right now, but like for Emily
she's looking
Fields
for like,
okay.
She's looking for like actual like full size like chicken eggs.
She's like
she
looking on the floor. She's like padding around. She's like, oh, it's so fucking dark down here. If I fall upstairs. She's like feeling, she's like, no, you might step on them and crack them. You might step on them and crack them. She's like, wait, Hannah, you had eggs for breakfast? Wait, Hannah, there were sunny side up eggs on your breakfast platter this morning? What do they taste like? You didn't try them? Okay, so they're still there? She like goes to get them. She's like, she has no idea what human women eggs look like.
We go to Allie's house and she's telling Rollins and suddenly I'm like, wait, Allie, are you way more into this?
I know. I was like, wait, Rollins doesn't want to fuck you. Oh my God. He's rejecting you in front of our eyes.
Rollins is like, wait.
He's like,
now
wait, you
Charlotte's
thought
out of the picture, it's not like hot and sexy anymore.
He's like, I also,
like,
I was kind of
like your sister's doctor
into this for Charlotte. And now I'm just like, I mean, okay, low key, I think Rollins is a bad guy. This is what I think. I think Rollins is a bad guy. And that's why he's like not as into this because he's a bad guy. That's my theory. Mm. He just, again, as I said, he looks like a weasel. I'll stand by that. But they're going to have their moment. She's like, I just want you. Because I mean, she literally says, like, she wants to be together. And he's like, well, things are moving really quick. I just, like, think we should keep it the way it is for now. Like, I'm not ready to DTR. I was like, oh, my God.
And she's like, okay, we'll have this conversation in a month or a year. And he's like,
whenever. I just want to go to a movie with you or a restaurant. He's like, well, movies are dark. We could do that. We could go to a dark movie so no one sees us together, I guess.
We could go to a restaurant and sit on opposite sides of a booth.
He's like, how about we go to a restaurant, a you bar. Wait in the car, I'll get takeout, and then we'll eat it. Come back here and eat it. That's while we talk about where Charlotte could be. Anyway, so now they're all at the Radley bar, and they're all kind of discussing what was going on, that Emily was looking for her eggs. No one has seen Sarah since she left the hotel last night. And we find out that Emily did get the money, so that's really good. And Hannah has this nice moment
Emily's
where she's like, look.
Emily's in her woe is me.
She
moment.
Is, but she's allowed
about
to
the
be.
Ex, but then she's also like, and what if I ever have kids, who am I even going to have them with? I'm 23 and no suitors. It's like, okay, girl, chill out.
I'm 23, I've got no money, no gentleman callers, no female callers. Sorry, I'm just quoting that movie. What movie is
Pride
that?
Pride and Prejudice.
Is that even right? What did she say? I'm 27, I have no money,
like
no dowry.
Jane Eyre movies, I feel
something
like.
Like
doesn't
that.
Keira Knightley say it?
I got it confused with the scene in Easy A where Emma Stone's like, oh, a gentleman caller. Oh, happy day, mama. Oh, that movie is so fucking good. Anyway,
She's so good.
So they have that little moment, and Hannah's like, look, Emily, you're gonna have kids. Spencer's gonna have kids one way or another. Aria's gonna have kids, and I'm gonna have kids, and they're gonna be beautiful, and I can't wait to plan our play dates. And you know she's doing the Stassi Schroeder Wicked themed birthday. Like, that yes. is the type of mom Hannah's gonna be.
Imagine solo play dates between Aria's kids and Hannah's kids.
Aria's kids are like, can we stay here forever? It's so much more. My mom Hannah's says, my like, mom told us weird. TV is fake and made up. You guys have a TV. We're only allowed to read books, and they're all first edition, so we're not allowed to touch them. Mom holds them, and we have to practice reading, and they're all in Old English. It's really hard to understand. We barely speak regular Old English. That's Aria's kids' life, I think. So Caleb comes home to Spencer by the fire.
Yes. And he's like, you know, maybe the other side won't use it. Maybe we can just like chill out about all this.
Yeah, and Caleb. That's always like, how it maybe works they'll out.
Maybe they'll take the high road. And Spencer remembers the sign that's in the basement of the Connell household that says, take the high road. There's no traffic.
There's no traffic. She goes, there's no traffic up there. She does say it. She says it exactly. And he's like, so true. He's like, your brain. And so anyway, then she says, he's like, puts her hand on her face and he's like, do you need anything? And I was like, is she about to suck his finger? Like, what are we doing? Because she like leans her face in and starts like kissing his hand. Caroline expecting her to be like, I need something.
Caroline's been spending the last couple episodes just catastrophizing as horrifying.
What is catastrophizing about that? They've been fucking. And we know it. We've basically seen their porno, the Spela porno over the past few weeks, okay? What do you mean I've been catastrophizing? I think the catastrophe is happening before my fucking eyes. There is absolutely a catastrophe. Spencer, I don't have to world build it. It's there in front of my fucking
Spencer
face.
Spencer says,
disrespectful, actually.
Could you go get a glass? Your girlfriend's drinking alone. What are you doing?
Wavy baby. I can't wait to talk about Southern hospitality. If you guys are watching Southern hospitality, like, what is wrong with you?
I know that you said that Emmy's the Sheena, but she is not. She's the Kristen Doty.
And no, I am. No, I'm Sheena. Sorry. Grace Lilly. Don't give that to Sheena. Grace Lilly is unlike anything I've seen on my TV screen. She is far surpasses Sheena. Okay. Emmy is 100% Sheena. And that's done. That's canon. That's cemented. Grace Lilly is something else entirely. Grace Lilly is almost like a fictional character. We'll get into it.
She's perfect.
Oh my God.
We go to the brew and Aria's just writing and she is spending as much time as possible in the brew. Because
wait, I need to say one thing.
Doesn't want to waste a second.
I need to say one thing before we get into this.
What?
Spencer goes, I need you to go get a glass so your girlfriend doesn't have to drink alone.
I said that as you were doing this.
Oh, sorry. I was doing my spells.
Oh, sorry. Caroline was in the waves.
Girlfriend?
Caroline was in the waves for
when
a
did
second.
When did we DTR?
I thought Caleb was going to say that.
I did too.
Girlfriend.
I thought so too. And I was like, I hope he does. And then Spencer's like, I mean, or we can just be fuck buddies. And he was like, yeah, correct. But that's not what happened. Anyway, so, okay, now we go to Ariel. Yeah.
And she's writing and Ezra's back. And then they go up to the loft.
They're so going to do it next episode.
They are
calling
so
it now.
Do it.
Calling it now. Aria and Ezra are gonna do it next episode, season 6, episode 17. Ezra is gonna do it.
And sorry, I've been right this entire time. Liam and Aria give Rory and her no name boyfriend in the Gilmore
and her
year,
no name boyfriend,
whatever the new Gilmore Girls thing was called. Yeah,
I agree. I agree with that.
And Ezra says, "I should apologize to you. I should be honored." You thought I'd kill for you.
He's like, I was such a good boyfriend. If you still think that, then I should be honored because no, I'm like, she's like, I just was worried that you would do that. I mean, I'm like, Ezra, God, she is inside your mind because no, you don't need to be honored that Aria, who lives on planet me, thought you killed somebody, another person for her. So we've done it before. What would stop you this time? Well, I guess he didn't do it before. For a second, I thought he killed Shauna. That was Arya. Don't take that from her. But Ezra's like, what actually happened that night, the reason I couldn't fucking tell you is because I saw your parents getting hot and heavy. And then your dad called me and asked me not to tell you. And Arya's like, well, they're getting remarried. And Ezra's like, glad I kept the secret. And you thought I killed someone. And then I left town and let you think that.
He goes, and then I went to the pie place and talked to this random guy about politics for 3 hours. And I was like, there's no one I'd rather talk about politics less.
I'm also like, he says that the guy was like a trucker. So I'm like, okay, so what was that conversation like?
I'm also like, you know, Ezra, I know we probably align. However, yeah. He's got to be the most pretentious, insufferable person to talk about politics
with.
He's
definitely one of those people that like makes us look bad. You know what I mean? Like we share his views in most way, likely, but the way that he like, talks about them and acts is this like holier than thou vibe is like, he's like a bad well look read. For us who are like not exactly. Like that. You know what I mean? We're exactly. Just like a little bit too much.
And it's like for him, it's all like theory. It's not really based in fact or reality.
And he's more concerned with sharing like how well read he is and what he's yes. read and like the different
the
Wall Street Journal, which you have to have a subscription for, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he just wants to share that, like, all these different ways that he's pretentious rather than like get to, like, actually talk about something and like make change, you know? Anyway,
yeah, I didn't see him on the phone bank call.
No, I know you did not report back on that. So he then hands her the next 3 chapters of his book that he's written. Ari's like, Aria, what the what fuck are is you this? She's like, well, we're gonna have a major tone issue now because she like holds up her book. She's like, well, which one should we use? Throws his into the fire. She's like, I guess mine. I guess mine because we're on a deadline. Or she's like, okay, well, here's the deal. I took it upon myself to write this. And as my teacher, I think you would understand what a good opportunity this is. He's like, teacher, I haven't been your teacher. She's like, as my teacher, okay. And it's not lost on me that you never wrote me a letter of rec. Like, I know you said that you would, but in high school, you never did. Like, you never did. He's like, Arya, it was a special. She's like, you didn't. So I think you owe me this. Don't you? You literally killed somebody for me. And I'll tell everyone that you killed Cece if you don't let me do this, okay? And that's just it, okay? And Ezra's like, okay. That's actually not what happened. But Arya, I can't wait to see. What if she's like, okay, what if we just use like every other page? We switch with mine. Or we do your first chapter, my second chapter, my third chapter, my fourth chapter.
It's like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just do 2 copies and see which one Jillian likes better. Just do that.
We can put your name on both of them.
You put your name on both of them. Because I was thinking my pen name would probably be like Zelda Fitzgerald. So, which is like a Z.
No, it's Z Fitz.
So it would still be fine for you to use Z Fitz if you want. And then that's actually just, but that's, yeah, that's my pen name. I don't know.
I'm going by FS Fitz.
She's like, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. You might have to go by Z. Anyway. So, yeah. So then Spencer's grabbing Melissa's luggage because the whole thing is Melissa can't get her flight reimbursed unless she, like,
right, and
shares
I like
this.
I'm like, okay, suddenly this is why we had all these random fucking scenes of Spencer having to go to the headquarters and then have that conversation.
So we could have
Vivi.
This fucking suitcase thread.
We thought it was going to be about the sickness and everything, but then it's actually that we just needed Spencer to have a reason to look at Melissa's luggage.
Yes. So
she pulls up the, like,
handle
would fucking could handle. And one of the things I know, but on a suitcase it's like different vibes. Like, it's like,
nope,
not really,
but it's literally a handle.
Whatever.
And there it is. There is
the
Sagittarius blueprint.
One of the things is missing.
Whatever. I'm already over it. But yeah, so she
it's
thinks
missing.
That it's
and Spencer's holding it and she goes, this almost looks like a long metal rod with a rectangle cut at the end of it.
And I'm like, well, I know that fucking wonky description anywhere.
She has the same pose. They're like, what could the murder weapon be for Charlotte? And they're like, a hollow metal
rod. She's like trying something
else.
She's like, Caleb, come here. Starts hitting him with it. She's like, I just want to see if it's possible.
But for a
Toby would have let me.
She's in the same pose as Arya from the beginning of the episode where she's holding the flashlight with her,
Caleb,
with her mouth agape.
You're
Caleb.
Y'all don't want to see this.
We might be a problem.
Caleb, I got some news.
You see
bad
this?
Bad news.
A missing metal rod with a rectangle cut at the end of it.
She's like, Caleb, come here for a sec. How would you describe this piece? And he's like, probably a long, hollow metal rod with a rectangle cut into it. She's like, oh, exactly. As I suspected, we're in trouble. How much time you got? She's like, how much have you had to drink? Can you drive? We got business to do. And he's like, no, but it's crate time. She's like, we don't have crate time. Okay? I gave that up when I gave up Toby.
I don't care what you heard from Toby about.
I don't need crate time. Okay?
I don't need it.
I'm productive. It's a kid saying they don't need a nap. That's Spencer in this moment. So let me get our A scene.
Oh my God. We go to our A scene, yes, and Whistle While You Work is playing, and we see someone with medical gloves, not our classic black leather gloves.
Right.
Kind of cleaning off the switchboard, the shock board.
Yeah.
We don't really know what it is, but whatever we saw in the beginning of the episode.
And then they pull the lever, crunk. And they pull the lever, and then it's blackout.
Which this little, like, Radley, little, like, hollowed out area of Radley is giving Yzma Lair.
Yes, it is. It's only a matter of time before this ladder is replaced with a chute like Yzma's. Pull the lever, crunk.
It's only a matter of time before Yzma's in an episode.
And I'm waiting, and I, for one, can't wait. All right, synopsis for next week. Season 6, episode 17. It's called We All Got Baggage. We All Got Baggage. As romantic relationships move forward, the liars investigate a new suspect in the murder case. Kind of a lame synopsis, gotta say. Kind of lame. I prefer synopses that are a little bit longer. Give me more to read out loud, because you know how much I love that. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Next week on the Patreon, so not tomorrow, but the next week, we're doing our next Pretty Little Punch Bowl episode for tiers 2 and 3 on the Patreon. So make sure that you are subscribed and don't miss our first one. We talked about what the liars were like in college during those 5 years we didn't get to see. And so we are taking submissions for what you'd like us to talk about or world build or discuss in our next Pretty Little Punch Bowl episode. So DM us on Instagram, post them in the Reddit, message us wherever, leave a comment on this episode. And yeah, we will see you next week. And
splat.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.